Find all back episodes and other information at mattsaudioblog.com.
The Battle of Burning Mill is one of the first battles between groups of men in the Dance of Dragons. It has all the drama that you might expect. Hereditary feuding, ferociousness on both sides, and a strategic surprise capture at the end. But what leads up to the Battle of Burning Mill? What turns the tide for one side or the other? Who are the key players? And what is the immediate aftermath of this battle? We'll be exploring all of those questions today as we preview House of the Dragon Season 2 using source materials from George R. R. Martin himself. Needless to say, this conversation will be very spoilerific for Season 2 of House of the Dragon, so if that is not your thing, we understand, but you've been warned. And if you're sticking around, I'm Matt, and thanks for joining me on Before the Dragon podcast. Before we get started, please remember that your feedback is very important and very welcome around here. Look for our social medias at the letter B, the number 4, the Dragon Pod, and get a hold of us there. Or use that same spelling for our YouTube channel and leave comments on those videos, like the videos, and subscribe to the channel if you would please. And you can always send an email to me at mattsaudioblog@gmail.com, mattsaudioblog@gmail.com. Back to Burning Mill. As I mentioned, this battle is one of the first battles that actually incorporates men fighting with each other. It isn't the biggest nor one of the most important battles of the Dance of Dragons, but it does have consequences that begin to shape the war itself. And we'll likely see it played out in Season 2 of House of the Dragon, even if it's only featured briefly. We make that speculation due to at least one shot in the late 2023 teaser, which featured a Bracken soldier. But before we get into the battle itself, we probably should take a look at what sets this battle up. One thing that we know for certain is that this war that begins more or less as a war of words escalates very quickly to all-out war due to the incidents with Aemond and Lucerys, and the follow-up of Blood and Cheese. But even during all of that, in the background, houses are having to make a choice between the queen that they may have pledged to and the king who now sits the throne. We see in the season one finale of the television show, Daemon emphasizing to Rhaenyra the importance of the Riverlands coming to her cause. It's also very likely that by the time this battle occurs, Daemon has already laid his hands on Harrenhal as he planned to in that season finale. He needs Harrenhal as a secure hosting spot for all of the different factions to come together if they need to march on King's Landing. But as I said, you need to convince these Lords of the Triton who have these houses in the Riverlands to come to your side. We've already heard lords like our Muppet Tully Lords being called fickle in the season one finale. Especially Grover. In fact, Martin's Fire and Blood gives us a good look at the internal disagreement in House Tully regarding whose cause to side with. The Lord Paramount of the Trident had been an old man at the Great Council of 101, where he spoke for Prince Viserys. He had favored the rights of male claimant in 101, and years had not changed his view. Lord Grover insisted that Riverrun would fight for young King Aegon, yet no such word went forth. The old lord was bedridden and would not live much longer. "I would soon the rest of us did not die with him," declared Sir Elmo Tully, his grandson. And so while Lord Grover thundered from his deathbed, Riverrun barred its gates, manned its walls, and held its silence. Now, Elmo did, in fact, throw in on Rhaenyra's side when he became the Paramount of the Trident. But with River Run remaining silent, the Lords of the Trident had to make decisions on their own. Yet many of the Lords did, in fact, come to Rhaenyra's side, perhaps remembering the vows that they had taken, which we actually witnessed in the House of the Dragon season premiere. The Lords of the Trident, having more to lose, were not so quick to move, but soon enough began to throw in their lots with the Queen. Frey, Piper, Roots of Harroway, Malisters of Seaguard, Vances of Wayfarer's Rest, and House Blackwood of Raventree all answered Rhaenyra's call. Among the Lords of the Trident, the only ones mentioned to have declared for Aegon seems to be the Vances of Atranta and the Brackens. File! And that brings us to the two key houses of the Riverlands doing the majority of the fighting during the Burning Mill. The Blackwoods and the Brackens. The Blackwoods and the Brackens are truly the Hatfields and McCoys of Westeros across nearly all Martin's stories regarding A Song of Ice and Fire. While the Game of Thrones television show paid very little to no attention to this rivalry which spans centuries or even millennia, House of the Dragon did briefly check in with them in episode 4 of season 1, proving that it takes very little to provoke the fires that fuel this ancient rivalry. But more distinctly, in the source material, this rivalry is known by just about everyone in Westeros, and throughout almost every time period. From the time of Duncan Egg, which will soon be turned into a television series of its own on HBO, Dunk knew about the ancient enmity between the Blackwoods and the Brackens. Won't their liege lord force a peace? All the way up into the more modern characters in the story, and even with more comical characters like Edmure Tully. When did Blackwoods and Brackens agree about anything that was not certain, I ask you? And it's actually from Jaime's perspective in Martin's A Dance with Dragons where we get the most information about how this rivalry might have even started. For the most part, it seems to be about who has the right to claim themselves a king from the time where there were many. Lord Jonas Bracken tells Jaime the following in that passage. Before the Andals came to Westeros, House Bracken ruled this river. We were kings and the Blackwoods were our vassals, but they betrayed us and usurped the crown. Every Blackwood is born a turncloak. However, Hoster Blackwood, who is the son of Lord Tytos, tells Jaime a slightly different version of basically the same story. Some of the histories were penned by their masters and some by ours, centuries after the events they purport to chronicle. It does go back to the Age of Heroes. The Blackwoods were kings in those days. The Brackens were petty lords, renowned for breeding horses. Rather than pay their king his just due, they just used the gold their horses brought them to hire swords and cast him down. So, as I mentioned, Jaime surmises that this is really just about a crown, and in fact a crown that hasn't had any real power to it for a very, very long time. So you are fighting over a crown that one of you took from the other back when the Casterlys were still at Casterly Rock? Is that the root of it? The crown of a kingdom that has not existed for 1,000 years? It doesn't really help that the Blackwoods and the Brackens are in very close proximity to each other in the Riverlands, with the Red Fork serving as kind of a natural border, even though lands on either side of that river have likely been captured by the opposing faction several times throughout the course of Westeros' history. The Bracken Seat Stonehenge sits away from the Red Fork on the south side, while nearly equidistantly on the north side, the Blackwoods sit at their seat of Raventree Hall. because of the proximity of these houses, and because we are told that the Battle of the Burning Mill occurs at an actual mill by a river, we can of course surmise that this battle occurs along the Red Fork. In the source material, at the time of the dance, the houses are currently led by Samuel Blackwood and Amos Bracken, respectively. In the show, we've only heard of one Bracken who goes by the title of Lord, and his name is Humphrey. As well, we've only met one Blackwood at all, named Willem, and of course he is the one who killed Jarell Bracken. So will we get an Amos or a Samwell? Who knows? But for now, let's go with these book lords, and those are your mostly key players in this battle. Well, most of them. We'll get to another big one in just a little bit. Once again, I will caution that I don't know exactly how much this particular battle will be highlighted or featured in the House of the Dragon television show. Likely, Rook's Rest, which we've already covered, will be a bigger focus for the television show than this battle. But, just to cover all our bases, we will go through the source material covering this battle, and that way you can fill in the gaps, if the television show leaves any. The description of the Battle of Burning Mill is covered in just a couple of short paragraphs between all of the source materials, including Fire and Blood, The Princess and the Queen, and supplementary materials penned by others in coordination with Martin's works. We get a lot of broad strokes and maybe a couple of interesting details, but there's a lot of open space within these words that a television show adaptation can work with if it chooses to do so. So let's look at what we know first. We know that Blackwoods come out of Raventree, seemingly cross the Red Fork into Brackenlands, and start fires, run off livestock, and have a little bit of extra fury in terms of the Brackens' Church of the Seven by defiling some of their septs. In the Riverlands, raiders out of Raventree crossed into the lands of House Bracken, burning crops, driving off sheep and cattle, sacking villages, and despoiling every sept they came on. The Blackwoods were one of the last houses south of the Neck who still followed the old gods. Interestingly, when we look at this from a television show perspective, you might want to go back to why the Blackwoods even declared for Rhaenyra at all, given the way that Rhaenyra called Willem a child, which actually was true. But oaths are oaths, of course. Anyway, this is the first action leading up to the inevitable battle between houses sharing an ancient rivalry, but it also spawns a reaction from the Brackens because it is Lord Samwell himself that comes out of Raventree leading these forces, and those forces, according to supplementary material, are heralding Rhaenyra's banners as they do all of this. The Brackens simply must respond, not only as a response to an ancient rival, but also because they have declared for Aegon and must respond to any force that seemingly has declared for Rhaenyra. And they do respond. They eventually gather forces to respond to this action, forces that will be led by Sir Amos Bracken, and they send those forces towards Blackwood lands. To be honest, it's actually unclear as to which side of the Red Fork this mill sits, but it is this mill where the Brackens will camp before penetrating deep into Blackwood lands. Yet it seems that Lord Blackwood was actually prepared for this idea and may even have coordinated his battle in order to provoke this response. When the Brackens gathered a strong force to strike back, Lord Samuel Blackwood surprised them on the march, taking them unawares as they camped beneath a riverside mill. To be honest, there are but a few scant details about the battle itself within the source material, but we should take a minute to examine some of these details. First of all, because we know that the Brackens are attacked by the Blackwood forces while camping, We can assume that this battle occurs in the evening to overnight periods of a Westeros day. Martin tells us the following. In the fight that followed, the mill was put to the torch and men fought and died for hours, bathed in the red light of the flames. Now let's take a moment to examine some of the footage from the late 2023 teaser trailer. In that trailer, there is actually a shot of men burning at night. But it also seems that that fire erupts very quickly, like the source of that fire might be dragon fire as opposed to merely a burning mill. Additionally, I can't seem to identify any sigils in this shot, so the shot may not be part of Burning Mill at all. But if this shot is part of the battle, might a dragon be involved in starting that fire? Put that in your pipe for now, but don't start smoking it just yet. We're going to get to that in a minute. Instead, let's examine some other details that we get from Martin. Details that are fairly specific about one particular duel.
Sir Aemys Bracken, leading the host from Stonehenge, cut down and slew Lord Blackwood in single combat, only to perish himself when a weirwood arrow found the eye slit of his helm and drove deep into his skull.
So, House Blackwood has lost its lord, House Bracken has lost its host's leader. Who is going to lead these hosts now? Does it even matter? Because let's face it, Blackwoods and Brackens love killing each other. Perhaps even to the last man. At any rate, details like this make it hard for me to believe that the television show can completely overlook this battle with just a mere mention. My hope is that, at a minimum, we will get at least a 2-minute or so montage of the battle occurring, maybe being relayed back to Rhaenyra or to Aegon. I will be realistic and say that at most, this battle would get maybe a 10 or 15 minute sequence within an episode. But I would like to visit again how Sir Aemys Bracken died, because there are stories about who shot that arrow that involve a character who will become important much later on in the story, but that the television show can kind of ignore for now. Again, from Martin's Fire and Blood.
Supposedly that shaft was loosed by Lord Samwell's 16-year-old sister, Alicent, who would later be known as Black Alley. But whether this is fact or mere family legend cannot be known.
Once again, as with most of these cases from Fire and Blood, the television show gets a certain narrative freedom in how they treat these events. There are different accountings from 3 different, not always reliable narrators on many of the events that happened during the Dance of Dragons. And without doubt, Black Alley will become a very important character later on in the story. But if you're not ready to cast the actor who will play Black Alley now, you can still avoid her. Even if you do actually get a shot of a weirwood arrow entering the eye slit of Sir Aemys Bracken, you still don't have to show the audience who shot the arrow. While the fanboy in me definitely wants to meet Alysanne now, I would completely understand if the television show isn't quite ready to introduce me to her yet. Anyway, like I said, Blackwoods and Brackens love killing each other, so the battle continues.
Many other grievous losses were suffered by both sides in what became known as the Battle of the Burning Mill. And when the Brackens finally broke and fled back into their own lands under the command of Sir Aemys's bastard half-brother, Sir Raylan Rivers, it was only to find that Stonehenge had been taken in their absence.
Taken in their absence? Now that is a stroke of strategic genius. But who could have coordinated this? Or was it just happenstance that while Blackwoods and Brackens were fighting each other, someone came and took the Brackens' castle? The only person I guess we could ask is Daemon Targaryen.
Led by Prince Daemon on Caraxes, a strong host made up of Dairies, Roots, Pipers, and Freys had all captured the castle by storm in the absence of so much of House Bracken's strength.
Wow, all the houses' names that we talked about earlier. And on top of that, remember when I told you to stick something in the pipe to smoke later? Well, let's light that pipe up right now with a little bit of reckless speculation.
Reckless speculation. Reckless speculation.
Let's face it. After Damon coordinates the whole blood and cheese thing, a topic we've also already discussed in a previous presentation, he looks like a pretty bad dude. So perhaps a little battle-savvy redemption of sorts would be needed for his character in the episodes that follow. What better way to redeem him in that way than to have him coordinate this whole chain of events? And perhaps if, and I emphasize if, that shot of the Burning Men at night in the trailer is in fact the Battle of Burning Mill, and if, and again I emphasize if, a big if, that fire we see in that shot is actually dragon fire, could the mill being put to torch actually be a result of Damon and Caraxes' actions? To be honest, I'm going to say likely not. Mainly because you would think that the sight of a dragon descending and burning a mill would likely make both sides turn tail and head back to their castles. But that doesn't necessarily disqualify Damon planning this strategy for the Blackwoods, drawing the Brackens out of their keep so that Damon could more easily take that keep. And that's really most of the detail that we get about the battle itself. But let's not ignore that this battle does produce some ramifications for both sides. One thing that comes out of the capture of Stonehenge is that it basically unites all of the Riverlands to Rhaenyra's cause. After Lord Grover dies, Elmo commits the Tully forces to Rhaenyra's side. And with House Bracken basically neutralized, any further commitments in the Riverlands to Aegon are basically given away as a submission to Rhaenyra or no action taken against her. Also, remember that Lord Humphrey that we spoke of earlier? He and what remains of his family become captives.
Lord Humphrey Bracken and his remaining children had been made captive, along with his third wife and baseborn paramour. Rather than see them come to harm, Sir Rayland yielded. With House Bracken thus broken and defeated, the last of King Aegon's supporters in the Riverlands lost heart and laid down their own swords as well.
What Damon and the Blackwoods have achieved might go quite a way towards restoring the confidence of Rhaenyra. After having lost her own son, Lucerys, who I just call Luke, and at least having the knowledge of the act of vengeance called Blood and Cheese, orchestrated by Damon. What this string of events does for Aegon, who mind you has also lost a child, is likely quite the opposite.
The fall of Harrenhal to Prince Damon came as a great shock to his grace, Mundkin tells us. Harrenhal left his grace feeling vulnerable for the first time. The subsequent defeats at Burning Mill and Stonehenge came as further blows and made the king realize that his situation was more perilous than it had seemed.
But mind you, this bloody war is just beginning, and we will see Aegon take some matters into his own hands. Things like firing Otto Hightower as the Hand of the King and replacing him with Criston Cole, a change that will affect how Aegon leads what has so far been a failed military campaign. And for now, that's where we're going to leave things. Please check out our last few presentations covering events that we feel will happen within at least the first half of Season 2 of House of the Dragon. And remember that we always welcome your feedback, be it commenting on our videos, or sending posts to us on social media, or even emailing us. I gave you all of that information at the beginning of the presentation, and I hope you use that to stay in touch with us. My hope is that we'll soon have a new trailer to break down for you. But if we don't, we still have a few other topics that we can cover before Season 2 of House of the Dragon arrives in June of 2024. So, until next time, I'm Matt, and once again, thanks so much for joining me on Before the Dragon podcast.
Find all back episodes and other information at mattsaudioblog.com.